Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Tempe, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and I am happy to have several business leaders here in our studio today. Welcome back to Wendy McClellan, founder and CEO of Structure for Success, an HR consulting firm. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
This is guest visit number three.
I know, I'm an old pro now.
You are. I think I need to put like a nameplate on your chair. maybe not after three visits, but after a while we'll have you here. But clearly we've had a good time talking about different aspects of your business and relationships with other community leaders and business leaders here in Arizona. And today we've invited back not only you, but a couple of new friends.
Yes, and I'm very excited to have them on here.
Yes, so let's introduce who else we have here today. We have Nancy Hetrick, owner and founder of Smarter Divorce Solutions and the Divorce Financial Planner Training Center, a kinder, gentler, and more affordable divorce. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
I know only about a portion of your business right through our work together with Vanessa Shaw's group, and so I'm very much looking forward to getting caught up. I think it's been a little over a year.
I think you're right, which is amazing to me, but I'm finding after age 50, time has no meaning anymore.
It leaps, yep, it disappears. So again, welcome.
Thank you.
And Wendy Anderson, founding partner and attorney with Christian Anderson PLC, experienced legal counsel by your side in business and life. Welcome, Wendy.
Thank you. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning to you. When we were in the lobby, after I gave hugs to the other two gals, Wendy says, hi, I'm the newbie. But I said, well, you better come in here for a hug as well. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to be here with us today.
Absolutely.
So let's jump right in. Let's have a conversation briefly about each of your business owners. So our listeners, from each of you about your businesses so that our listeners can get just a little summary about who we are. And then we'll just see where the conversation takes us. Wendy McClellan, how about you start off for us? Who are you in the business world?
Well, I own an HR consulting firm, Structure for Success. We have been in business for almost 5 years. I have personally been in the business more years than I would like to announce. And what we do is we work with businesses who either do not have their own HR team or their HR team needs support. So my main focus is building the relationship between the employee and the employer. Because many businesses, when they bring me in, they are either experiencing employee drama or they're having compliance issues, or they just want to make sure that all their T's are crossed and their I's are dotted. And so what I do with that is I make sure that the relationship between the owner and their employees is a strong one, because that is going to elevate the business more than any amount of clients that they bring in.
Right. You can have a great product, great service, but if you aren't in harmony with your employees and vice versa, and singing from the same sheet of music, then businesses stale and or fail.
Exactly. And then we do the employee work for them and work with their employees so that they can focus on being the CEO of their company and focus more on bringing in more profits instead of having to deal with the background drama and babysitting that sometimes goes along with having employees.
So it's not only helping them to be harmonious and get along well, but you really take this HR piece off of their plate so that the small business owner can again focus on their zone of genius and the business at hand.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of business owners out there who are very, very good at what they do, and they've maybe never had employees before. So it's a whole other aspect for them that they have to grasp and learn. And instead of taking the time to do that, we take that off their plate so then they can focus on what they're good at.
You do so many things for business owners.
I try.
Yeah. Love it. And how about Wendy? Tell us about your role.
Sure. I am a business attorney. Christian Anderson PLC basically focuses on business law. We work with business owners in all ways that help protect their businesses and all of their business relationships so that they can interact with their customers, their employees, their business partners, their suppliers in a confident manner, knowing that everybody understands expectations from the other one and that the relationships are solid and set and they can move forward and do what they need to do without having to worry about the legalities and the legal issues behind things. We take care of that for them. And if for some reason there is a dispute among people and there is a misunderstanding, then we can help get them through that, hopefully through a good negotiation or a mediation rather than having to extend further into any sort of litigation process.
Sounds like a very proactive approach.
We believe that business is served by being proactive and by anticipating potential problems in these relationships ahead of time. So if we can look at somebody's business and understand what they do and how they interact with other people and think about what sort of problems they might have, we can protect against that up front so that on the back end, there are no misunderstandings. Yes.
Very, very wise. And these are long-term relationships, I would imagine, right? Because you are there to take care of any of these foreseen issues, anticipating them, making sure you're avoiding them, but also there for them if things arise that you need to help mediate and work through.
Absolutely. We do have clients that we work with consistently, but also some that we work with for a short time and then they go away and they run their business successfully. But then something comes up and that something, maybe something great. It may be that they're hiring new employees and they're growing, or it may be that they're moving into a new space, a bigger space, and they just have things that they need to deal with and understand. And we help them through that as they make those transitions.
I love that. I've had a handful of attorneys on shows before, and somehow I automatically think about attorneys through a lens of the heavy stuff and the difficulty. And many times, like you just did, someone says, you know, we're here for the celebrations too. We're here for the growth and the good things. And I always need to be reminded of that, which is fantastic because you're simply there to help put a protective layer around the legalities of business and make sure that everybody's doing things that mutually benefit each other,
right?
And protecting, of course, your clients.
Just like what Wendy does from an HR standpoint, we do from a legal standpoint. We don't expect business owners to keep up with the law and keep up with all of the regulations and compliance issues. So let us do that. And then you run your business.
Love it.
Well, and I love the fact that Wendy is a special attorney because she was been in the business world first for what, 25 years?
About 25 years.
And then she went back to law school. So to me, that makes her a very special attorney because she gets it.
Totally. And can I ask what you had done previously?
I was a marketing director for about 25 years with two companies here in town that both were private and then both went public while I was with those companies.
And then decided to go back to law school.
Yes.
Well, how does one decide that?
I was a middle-aged marketing person. And the marketing world has changed in the last 5 or 10 years in a big way. And I really looked at that and didn't see myself in marketing much longer and really felt that I needed to refocus my career into something that I felt I would be more effective at. And what I loved about my jobs was the negotiation aspect and the working with media partners in putting together deals and determining strategy and how would we most effectively go to market. And I took those skills and interests and said, how else can I use those? Well, I can use those to help other businesses negotiate deals and put their contracts together and do that for them. And so that's really what I loved about my job. It was those relationships. It was working with those media partners in our marketing plans and strategies and putting those deals together and then negotiating the terms and the contracts.
So smart to be able to make that pivot and that shift. Wow. And I'm sorry, how long have you been with this particular group that you're with?
I have been an attorney for 3 years now, and my partner and I just joined forces in January.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Wow. Fantastic. Well, I'm glad we get to be here to help spread the good news about the work you do. Nancy, quiet little mouse waiting for her turn. and I know you well enough to know that you've been just dying to get in here and share your information. So tell us about Smarter Divorce Solutions and Divorce Financial Planner Training Center. That's the new piece for me.
That is the new piece. It's my, and it is definitely a new focus of the last year. I have a 20-year background as a financial advisor. So that's really the world that
that's
I'm coming
right.
from, is I'm a financial advisor.
Okay.
2007, I went through my own less than optimal divorce experience. And I was really struck in that experience at the lack of resources that were available for someone that does not want to get engaged in the litigation process. So we were amicable enough that we knew we didn't want to waste our property settlements on attorneys. But yet we didn't need a mediator because we knew a mediator was just going to help us communicate. Well, we could communicate just fine. What we needed was advice on, after an 18-year marriage, how do you structure a settlement smart? How do you make sure that nothing falls through the cracks, that you're not missing out on key pieces? And ultimately, we ended up doing the divorce ourselves, which is fairly easy in Arizona to do your own paperwork. And I messed it up so badly that when things turned nasty after the divorce was final, I ended up back in court 3 times. I spent over $20,000 on attorney's fees. I had my credit rating destroyed. Our divorce was in 2007. We had rental properties. I took one rental, he took the other, both with the agreement that we would refinance by the end of the year. I did. He did not. And in 2008, let his rental and our old primary home go into foreclosure with my name on them. And because I hadn't
done it. It's like I'm looking in a mirror, by the way. We'll talk about it off air, but I'm looking in a mirror. Yeah. You're telling my story and the timeline is almost identical.
Wow. It happened to
so we're not the only ones, right?
People.
Which is why.
Right. And so as I went through this process, and I was still working in corporate America at that time, I learned about this credential. I'm a certified divorce financial analyst, CDFA for short. And I thought, wow, I would love to be able to help especially women not make the same mistakes that I made. So I learned more about it. And I actually approached my company at the time and said, you know, I'd like to get this credential. And as most big companies do, they say, oh, no, 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 no. That's way more risk than we want anything to do with. Not, no. How about you go learn how to do something different? So I had to put it on the back burner. Well, then, as the universe has its way of doing things, within a year, I left corporate America, started my own company, went independent as a financial advisor, and Smarter Divorce Solutions was born.
Oh my gosh.
And I knew I wanted to niche market to women, and I knew that this was going to be the way to do it. The interesting piece is I thought I was going to be doing primarily litigation support until I did some. And I saw how devastating the litigation process and divorce can be for families. And I realized that I really just didn't want any part of it. And at the same time, couples started showing up in my office together, not using any attorneys, not using any mediators, and wanting my help.
Wanting to find an amicable way to split
marriage, long-term marriages with lots of financial pieces involved. And it was the best work I'd ever done in my life. So over the last 6 years then, I've gotten my mediation training. I've become certified as a financial forensic. And I very quickly built a business where within about 18 months, I was averaging 3 to 5 divorce cases a month.
Wow.
And to my knowledge, there's not a CDFA in the country that's ever built a business that quickly. The whole time I was building it, I thought, I've got to teach people how to do this. Because the biggest challenge we have is people don't know that we exist. They don't know that we're kind of this missing piece in the divorce process. The reason they don't know we exist is the demographics are shocking. There are approximately 2,600 active CDFA holders in the United States.
Okay.
Less than 300 have ever billed an hour.
Oh.
Yeah. So what's happening is financial advisors want to get into this niche. They get the credential and they don't have the foggiest idea how to turn it into a business. So enter the Divorce Financial Planner Training Center.
Smart.
And so 3 years ago, I started a short-term 3-month training program that was fabulous. And I love it. And I still do it today. It's an online on demand. But in the last year, I said, you know, I need to take this to the next level. And so I have a large 2-day conference in June that I do annually. And then I offer to those people a full year intensive coaching program, working with me, build a 6-figure divorce practice in 1 year. And we do weekly coaching calls. We do 3 times a year. We all get together for a 2-day intensive. And it's really a program where I can show you in 12 months how to get that divorce niche practice that you want and train you in the advanced skills that aren't covered in the when you get the credential so that you can have a real successful business.
That's got to feel
I adore
great.
It. Yeah, I feel like my whole mission now has changed. I'm building an army. I'm building an army and we're going to change the face of divorce in this country.
I love it. One of the neat things about having a chance to sit in front of so many leaders and brilliant people is that I hear those kind of comments all the time about people saying, I'm an industry disruptor. Yes. Sometimes I have to say that for them because, of course, they're humble. We had a gal in here yesterday with Lost Our Home Pet Rescue in Tempe, and I was blown away with all that she's done. She's celebrating their 10-year anniversary, but like you, kept listening for where's there a need?
Yeah.
Where is the need? How can I fix it? How can I serve? And now people are listening and watching and paying attention in the shelter, the kill and no kill shelter industry, paying attention to how she's doing things so that we can change the way we treat animals right. when they end up in a shelter. So kudos to you for saying, here's a need. I've experienced it myself. Yeah. And I know that more people need to be able to offer this service and help change and shift the way that we're talking about divorces, specifically as it relates to the money end of it.
Well, I mean, think about it. 95% of any divorce is financial. How is it possible that you would go through it without a financial specialist? The most common misnomer, people think their attorneys are going to help them with the financial piece. Attorneys are not. Wendy, are you a financial person?
I am not a financial expert, no.
There's an interesting
that was not statistic. Rehearsed, that was on the spot.
95% of family law attorneys, when polled, will say they became attorneys because they hate math.
Right?
They're wordsmiths. Attorneys are your debaters. They love words. They know all the things about the laws that you need to know when you're going through a divorce. They are not going to give you any financial assistance. So to me, how is it possible that people with $2-4 million estates and 30 years of marriage and vacation homes and timeshares and businesses are not getting a financial expert involved in their divorce? That's insane to me. Doesn't make any sense.
But you're definitely on a path to make sure that there's enough people around the globe, right. Here in the U.S. particular, who are going to help make a difference divorces are tough, right? Yeah. I mean, you had alluded to it. Mine, even though we're dear friends today, we had been married for a long, long time and had two kids, and neither of us wanted it to be nasty and ugly. But when money and property is in the midst of the picture, there's some pullback. And I did not have the advice. We went to a mediator as well, and I did not have the financial savviness. And I wish I look back now because there are still things similar to your story that I'm still cleaning up all these years later. And I'm 12 years into, the love of my life, marriage.
Wow. And it just doesn't have to be that way.
No, it certainly doesn't. And I think the other piece of this too is when it's painful, when a situation is painful for us, we know we have to show up in it. We don't often know who to ask the right advice from, but some of us, myself included, will go into this avoidance mode. Because I don't want to feel the pain of something.
Right.
But that has come to bite me when it comes to this particular situation because I put it off. I think I missed out on hundreds of thousands of dollars.
I'm sure you did.
Because wasn't willing to ask the right question. I didn't know what questions to ask, get the right help, and keep making it a commitment to take care of my own investment.
Right. Well, and there's, men and women handle divorce very differently. And one of the almost universal things about the way women approach divorce is we just want it over.
Yep.
We want to bless the past. We want closure on it and we're ready to move on. And as a result, they come to the table and don't ask the right questions. And there's a psychological thing that happens when you're under stress as well. When you're under the emotional stress that a divorce presents, there's brain science that shows that you get your amygdala gets fired up, which is your fight, flight, or freeze, right? And that becomes for an extended period. And literally, your frontal brain cortex, where you have logical thinking and all your decision-making, shuts down. So you're not even making decisions rationally the way you normally would. Mm-hmm. So it's so critical that you have an advocate on your side to help you weed through the details and make sure that at least the decisions you make, you're making them educated about what you're giving up or what you're not giving up. Sometimes it's worth it. Sometimes it's worth it to give up a certain amount of money for the peace and sanity. But make sure you know that and you're making it conscious.
And even just that little education that you shared, if you were in that position for me and helping me through that, that alone, that was what, a 30-second explanation of what's happening. Now I feel like, oh,
I'm not crazy.
I'm not crazy. It's physically and physiologically what's happening to me and emotionally. Thank you for holding my hand and being my guide through this. So what a blessing you are. And I love that, again, you've made this commitment to not only help your clients, but also help other financial planners take this into their practices. And equally, maybe even more so importantly, be very visible and very vocal about it and have a return on their investment.
Yep, exactly. And I'm very happy to say I have used both of these wonderful women in the room as their clients. Wendy McClellan has helped me twice with hiring, and thank God, because there's a very well-known aspect of being a small business owner. Entrepreneurs are the worst hiring people ever, ever. We see the potential in everyone, right? And we think we can pull it out. So we hire people we like. So after I hired and fired three people, I called Miss Wendy and said, please help me.
Enough already.
Yes. Yeah. I now have my dream team that I'm working with, which is just amazing. And then Miss Wendy Anderson is my business attorney who has helped me with contracts and all of those, the deeper legal things that frankly, I just don't want to deal with. And so she's been absolutely wonderful.
How fun is that? And it's a great segue because I was going to ask, now I know the three of you know each other and have done work with each other, but how has that come to being? So thank you for teeing that off for us. When you hear Nancy mention that, and I see you smiling and I know, and also blushing a little bit, but what shows up for you when you hear someone like Nancy say, gosh, how much you've been able to help them. That's got to feel great.
It does feel great. And not just because it's like, oh, good. Okay, good. I got a good person in there. But because I think Nancy used the word advocate. That's really what all three of us, all four of us here sitting at this table are, is we are advocates for each other as well as for other business owners. And the fact that I was able to help her with that and help her put her dream team involved and in place so that she could build this training center, so that she could touch these other people, that's what my job is all about. And that's why, you know, I mean, you hear a lot of there's a lot of online HR services, there's a lot of PEO stuff, there's, you can Google any compliance and find out what you're supposed to do. But the fact then that my firm can make it personal and really customize it for what they need is our advocacy, is helping her take it to the next level.
It's your gift. Yeah. It's interesting because when Wendy was talking about the law practice as well, same thing. You can go out and look and Google some form, a legal form, but do we know if it's really going to, if it's ironclad and if it's going to make sense? We wouldn't know. We'd have to have a relationship with an attorney like you to say, protect me, help me make sure that this is the right document and the right arrangement. Fascinating. So now how do you connect the two of you, Wendy and Wendy, the Wendy squared?
We met at a networking meeting, what, 3-4 years ago?
Yes.
And it was one of those where I was on one side of the room and she was on the other. And so I stood up and said my name. And then she gets to the other one and she's like, I'm the other Wendy. And we just kind of hit it off. You said there's a lot of Wendys in your life. I hadn't really met any other Wendys. Oh. So it was nice to connect. And the three of us actually make a point to get together quite often and share our successes and share what's going on in our lives, because I think that's important too. So many entrepreneurs or business owners get caught in the weeds, or they get caught in their daily lives that they don't have anyone other than their spouse to really say, look at what I did. Aren't you proud of me? I'm proud of me. And so that's really what we've created with the three of us as we get together and we just share our successes.
We do that. We do that quarterly. And it's so funny because on my calendar it says dinner with the Wendys.
I love it. Had you thought about changing your name to Wendy?
Well, here's the funniest thing. I've never told you guys this. When I was in high school, I cannot tell you how many people said, your name doesn't fit you. You just look like a Wendy.
Oh. So see,
There we go.
I'm a Wendy sister in purpose.
You know, how funny. And you've never shared that with the girls before. That
it's one of those deep buried memories.
You kind of do look like a Wendy.
Well, see, there you go.
See, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. We now have three Wendys in the house. I love it. So go ahead.
To tag on to what Wendy McClellan just said, when we get together, not only do we celebrate our successes and the good things going on, but I think we also give each other permission to ask for help from other people when we are facing challenges. As women, I think we try to do everything and we feel like we should do everything because that's our job. But we're not experts at everything. We don't know everything and we aren't expected. That's something
and
we put on ourselves. Right. So if somebody's facing a challenge, we give them permission to say, you know what, Nancy? I know this person who can help you with that because that's not your expertise and it shouldn't be. And when people come to me for help, what I'm hoping to do is relieve that visible stress I see on their face. They walk in my office and they are completely stressed. And I want them to walk out feeling like they can leave their problem with me and I will handle it because that's what I do and they can go do what they do and they don't have to worry about the legal stuff. I'll get back to them with hopefully a solution or some options. And they can go down the path with me leading them in the direction that they need to go. So I think as a support group, we do that for each other. We allow ourselves to not be perfect.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's okay. And I think some women need to hear that because that will lead to your destruction. Right? If you try to do everything and you try to be perfect and you can't. So we need to focus on what we're good at or what we're great at and let other people help us in the other ways.
You know, there's a really fabulous TED Talk from the founder of Girls Who Code about how girls are cultured to be perfect, not brave, and boys are cultured to be brave, not perfect. And so this is one of the things I observe about women business owners in particular is they don't ask for help. And they're often so afraid of failing that they will hold themselves back in business. And that's a real mindset shift that has to change or your business will never propel itself. I've adopted a fabulous new mantra that fell out of my mouth one day and I was like, "Ooh, I have to write that down." And it is, I anxiously anticipate my next failure because I know it's just an opportunity for me to revise, refine, and refocus.
Well, hello.
Right? That fell out. And I was like, oh my goodness. I was talking to my sister.
Say it again for us. That's beautiful.
I anxiously anticipate my next failure because I know it's just an opportunity to refine, revise, and refocus. And I have totally shifted the way I think about failure because now one of the things as an entrepreneur, we have shiny object syndrome. You know, we're the victims of way too many good ideas, right? And so I have all these wonderful things that, oh, we could try that, we could try that, we could try that. And I know I will never know if that's going to be successful or not till I try it. So if it's not, awesome, I can cross it off the list and move on. But it's no longer a failure. Now it's a, I wonder. And there's no personal connection between myself as a human being and the outcome of that project. Mm-hmm. And that I see so many small business women who think that anything that doesn't work is because I wasn't good enough, because I didn't have what it takes. And there's got to be a shift there to really get your business
either
to grow.
Either that or they didn't try.
Well, that could be too.
Yeah. Because you find something that works and you get comfortable in it, and it takes courage to step out of that and try one of those ideas, to try something different, to partner with someone else, to try, you know, I mean, so there's, you have to have the courage, which is actually my word this year, to step out of that box and be okay with the messy, be okay with the unknown, and be comfortable in the uncomfortable, because that is how you grow. Right. And I think, I mean, absolutely. And I think that's what all three of us do, is we help support during that process, because we've all been there. Mm-hmm. We all get it. And I think that's something that we bring to the table, is we empathize, we understand, and we have the skills to actually help in a different area so that they can focus on what they need to be doing.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting. You know, my first year in business, I adopted a mantra, and I swear I must have said it 18 times a day. feel the fear and do it anyway. Mm-hmm. Feel the fear and do it anyway. And I knew if I wasn't afraid, then I wasn't doing what I needed to be doing. And so, yeah, getting comfortable in that discomfort is critical to business
success. And your comfort zone changes because Absolutely. Once you step out, you're like, oh, well, this is comfortable. And then all of a sudden you realize that you got to step out again because now this is your new comfort zone.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Every client, I believe, makes us step out of our comfort zone because every client that comes to us has a different set of facts, a different set of problems and opportunities, and requires different solutions from us. And as we get better at what we do, we are always finding new ways to look at things and, you know, looking for new solutions. And we may try something with somebody and it doesn't work for them. So we have to try something else. So every day I'm stepping out of my comfort zone, especially in my second career now, learning new things and researching everything. Mm-hmm. You know, everything is new and it is scary. But it is also enlightening, especially when I'm done and I can look back and say, that wasn't as bad as I thought. Right. You know, it really just takes getting started and taking the bull by the horns and doing it.
Well, and I like the fact that we can call each other. I can't tell you how many times I've called Wendy and I'm like, okay, I promise I'll buy you a nice tea or something, but I really just need to talk through this. Yep. I like having that support system. And I think that's important for all business owners to have.
Yeah, and some people I think find it in formal organizations, which I know at least two of you are involved in organizations as well. But when you can find those people that you really click with, emotionally, mentally, soulfully, and have that bond like the three of you have, there's nothing else compares. I love that. I want to talk a little bit more about the Colby assessment, Wendy McClellan, that you offered. Can you speak to that? What does that offer the business owners that you work with?
Well, the Colby assessment, for the listeners that don't know, Colby Corp is it's Phoenix-based corp company. It's like it can be compared to the Myers-Briggs or the DISC or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. However, it's not a personality test. It is not an IQ test. It is more on your cognitive skills, which are your instincts, how you react to risk, how you want to process things. So before I make a decision, I'm a fact finder. So I need to have all my ducks in a row so that I feel I can make the best decision. Nancy is a quick start. So she just brainstorms and comes up with these things and runs with it. Not me. I need my facts in place. So what the Colby does is, and the way I use it with my clients is I know this about Nancy. I know, then she takes another assessment as to what she wants in the position. And then when we find the candidates, we run the Colby assessment on them as well. And we find out if they're going to mesh. So if we put someone that is even a stronger fact finder than I am with Nancy, that person's going to drive her nuts.
Right.
So we need to find it. Really, it gives us the data. It gives us the graphs. It gives us the management tools so that Nancy now knows, she knows what my Colby score is. So she knows how I function. I know how she functions. So then the communication can be stronger. However, Wendy is also a fact finder. So if you put two of us together, we can get caught down that rabbit hole and we need someone like Nancy to pull us out.
Sure.
So it gives businesses fantastic data on how to speak to their people and how to communicate so that they understand what they need. And then also when you have someone that, let's say, is really good, wants follow through, they have this process, they need to create this process, then you and that's how they function, then as a manager, you know to either put limits on that or to help them with that or and really guide them to come out of their comfort zone because a lot of them won't without the right guidance.
So fact finder, quick start, maybe that's not the right term that you use, but what other, are there other?
There is the fact finder, which is the person who before they take risk wants to know everything. And past experiences count in that too. The follow through, which is someone who, if you're a high follow through, then you like creating the process. There's people like my husband who work within the process that's already there. And then there's others that a process is just it's stifling to them, so they don't function that way. And so all of the, and then there's Quick Start, which are the entrepreneurs, the idea people, the sales staff. And then there's the implementer, which are the people who like putting things together, which are the engineers of the world. And God bless them, because we need them. And so there's, and Colby doesn't like the terms high and low, because each one is a gift. So there, it's on a range from 1 to 10, and each of them have different strengths. So a person that is opposite of me that doesn't need a lot of facts actually is probably more impulsive, and doesn't mean they're right or wrong. It just means that's how they deal with risk.
Fascinating. And I'm familiar with DISC and Myers-Briggs and what's the one that Cynthia?
DISC.
Is it DISC? Yeah. Or
No. I'm sorry. It's the Gallup.
The Gallup poll or the Strengths Finders. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, and that was new until I had met Cynthia. I wasn't familiar. And now it's fun to see this particular assessment, this indicator, because it directly relates to who do we need on our team?
Absolutely. And they've done, Kathy Colby has done research upon research as far as the brain science behind it. And what they have found is your Colby score does not change. It is your instinctual way that you function. So I know that I need to, it helps you plan your day too. So I know that these things I can do very easily, so I can actually do them when I'm tired. They don't need to be done in the first part. But like Nancy hates contracts, and if she hasn't hired Wendy to do it, then she knows that she needs to do that in the morning when she's fresh, because that's when it's going to take more energy for her to do that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. So these stay the same, and yet some of these other assessments, personality, you know, we can give them a bunch of different names, but I know that sometimes they encourage you to retake them every 3 to 5 years or after a major shift, because we tend to ebb and flow in our strengths and our personality based on what's going on in our life or our growth. And this, she's found that this is steady Eddie.
Absolutely.
You know, I think the most valuable thing I found from the Colby, when you are bringing on a new employee, there's a section that says, here's how this person wants to be spoken to. And here's some things they might do that are going to push your buttons. And here's what you should understand about their behavior and how you can deal with it more effectively. So it's wonderful to take somebody who's inherently different than me, has the strengths that I need, but we don't necessarily talk the same language. So it gave me the tools to not misunderstand what's coming from that person.
It's no longer emotional. Right. It's factual. Right. It's just data.
But you have to have that language and the permission really to look it through it from a different lens. Oh, because if someone's rubbing me the wrong way or saying something that's getting under my skin, I am obviously immediately go into, you know, reaction. But if I have had that gift of working with Wendy, then I know, okay, here's the deal. I knew this was coming. Now, how do I respond? And more importantly, what are they trying to communicate with me? Because they're not trying to get under my skin, but what do I need to hear behind what they're saying?
One of the best examples I had was someone I was working with was a quick start, and I'm a fact finder. And she said, Wendy, the best way to get me to do something is don't write me a dissertation. Give me bullet points. Once that's helpful for me too, because then I can get, wordy, and then I can kind of narrow it down. What do I truly want? But the fact that she had that conversation with me was like, oh, it's not that you're not reading my emails. It's that you look at it and your eyes gloss over. So it was much easier for us to communicate that way.
Well, and we're a perfect example of that too, because as a quick start person, I have seen a lot of employee situations, especially management to employee, where a fact finder will talk and talk, and they'll be giving you all this information. Well, as a quick start, we're like, be quiet. You know, our theme in life.
Wendy, did you know that she thinks that about you when you're chatting? No,
but I mean, our theme in life for others
is let's get it done.
Be brief, be bright, be gone. Right?
I mean, be brief, be bright, be gone.
That's it.
I love
and
it.
So if she doesn't know that about me, imagine how shut down she's going to feel when I don't want to listen to all the fabulous research that she's done. So that's where this comes in and helps people to realize, oh, it's not that they have any kind of disrespect for me.
No.
We have to communicate differently. So it's really powerful.
Have you done the Colby assessment as well, Wendy?
I have not, but I would love to give it to every new client that walks in the door.
I'm seriously thinking the same thing, right? Because even when, not just employees, but clients, and for me, guests and sponsors, this is what really triggered for me was the email example. I don't know. I think I'm a little bit of everything, but I'm sure people would probably tell you that all the time. I'm sure I have a strength, right? But my emails, sometimes I'm like, how come no one's responding? But it's, you know, and it all seems like it's very important, but it's long. So if I knew in working with sponsors, guests, or in your case, clients, if we knew how to interact with each other, or I had some insight to that, I could be more effective. I love that idea. How were you thinking when you're listening to the girls explain it? What hit home for you?
Well, just the difference in what one person versus another person wants to deal with in terms of detail and decision-making. So if somebody comes to me with an issue and I do some research and I have all of this research showing them we should go in one direction versus another, pros and cons, possible outcomes if you go this way or that way, I could write an email that's 10 pages long, but nobody wants to read that.
Well, some do, but not many. Maybe the researcher.
Right. So I make assumptions about what to tell them.
Yes.
And for some clients, that may be great. And they may be looking at it saying, this is what my attorney says, I'm going to go with this. But other people may want the pros and cons. There are people in my life, my father, for example, who's a scientist, he would want all the data. Give him everything. He will assess and then we'll talk about it and decide, but don't make it short for him. He wants it all. I'm assuming most clients don't want that, so I don't give that to them. And if they ask for it, that's great.
But if they do, you might be, they might be better served by giving them the full research when others just want the bullet point items.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'll find that those who want more will ask for more. They'll ask all the questions and I'll end up giving them more of the data and
but
more of the research.
This takes the guesswork out of it,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
absolutely.
We need a whole show dedicated to the Colby assessment. So Wendy will be back for visit number 4 and you'll have to bring the Colby team with you.
Absolutely.
I love that.
Oh, I'm sure Amy would love to.
Oh, I'm sure
and
she
I didn't
would.
I know we've talked a little bit about this assessment before, but I don't know that I realized they were Arizona based.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they've been in Arizona. Kathy started, I think it was 32 years ago.
Oh, wow.
They've grown and they've expanded, and the Colby assessment now is actually in 3 different languages. And so it's a very interesting tool, and I've actually found it helps me personally because I married into a family of engineers, and several of my clients are now engineers, and communicating with them is very different. And the way my stepson used to speak to me was like, I would be, like Nancy was saying, I would be so insulted, but it's just the way he communicates. And so having the Colby assessment, like I said earlier, kind of takes the emotion out of it. And it's like, oh, okay. So now I understand I'm not going to be insulted by this. And I know how to communicate with him. So he actually listens now.
Love it.
Imagine how powerful this could be just to do with your kids.
They have the youth assessment as well for anyone under 15. And then they've actually brought it into school systems now too to help
Smart.
Teachers.
Oh, fabulous.
Because the school system is based on a specific model. And some of those kids just do not fit into that model.
Very traditional. Only fits for... there's a lot of different factors for learning as well, especially when talking about pedagogy.
Yes.
But this would be a huge... advantage for teachers and educators to be able to really clearly see, you know, how people best get information and how they like to communicate. Phenomenal. I love to hear that they're taking
it to
schools.
Now, see, if more people did this when they were young and in their 20s and 30s, I'll bet less people would be in my office.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yep.
Right?
Because I'll tell you, so many of the couples that I work with, I mean, I can look across the table and just be like, how did you two ever think this was going to work? Because you're so different.
Yes. Well, and it's not necessarily that they're different, it's that they're communicating in different styles.
Yeah. It's just different
So they're
languages.
Just not hearing each other.
And they never learned how to interpret each other.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they just, and after, I would say, about 10 years of the misunderstandings, now it's embedded so deep that now the defenses go up and now you're in a cycle that's almost impossible to break.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a gift it would be to have this kind of education available for families at an early age and let it be part of how they communicate. I love it. Maybe there's a whole nother foundation developing right here.
There we go. It was I was in business for about 3 years when my husband decided he was leaving corporate and was going to do his own. So Amy Bruski and I know each other. She's the president of Colby Corp. And she's like, you've got to run this on your husband because you guys are going to kill each other in the same office. You have to figure this out. I'm like, no, we're newlyweds. We're good. She's like, no. And I cannot tell you how many times I fall back on the, okay, all right. This is the way he's doing it. This, okay, I get this now. I mean, it is such a valuable tool, both personally and professionally. And I love the fact that you said, bring it on your clients. Because, and just when you think you know it, like I look at Nancy, oh, she's a quick start. Then you actually get their Colby score back and you're like, whoa, I didn't see that one coming. So it's not a personality test.
Yeah.
And that's the big difference.
Yeah, the interesting thing is I am a quick start, but I'm also very high in Fact Finder,
right,
which is unusual.
Yes. Oh, it is. Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I fight it. I don't want to be.
But you're also very entrepreneurial. You had a word right for that piece of it.
Well, the quick starts are the entrepreneurs, and the implementer
that's
the engineer.
Yeah, right. That's
is the person who likes tinkering with the toaster.
Yeah. The thing I didn't understand until I had an employee that took the test with me is that quick start is directly tied to your risk tolerance. Mm-hmm. And so I had somebody that was going to be a really good implementer, but the problem was his risk tolerance was zero. So he couldn't get on board with anything that I wanted to do.
That's
because
important.
It was just too much, too fast. And it was too much. It was overwhelming for him. And he ended up self-selecting
That's
out.
That's critical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's my risk tolerance is very, very high. And which then translates into, even though I'm a fact finder, I often will not get enough facts because I'm just so anxious to just go forward and try it and see what happens.
Well, and also if you've experienced it before, either with a client or it's a similar situation or something you went through, Colby considers that a fact. Mm. So you're going to base it off that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
you had said that early on, the past experiences help define it. Is that?
Yes. Because you lived through it, because you did this, or because you had a client that you've already done this on, that is a fact then, because you've experienced it, you know how it's going to end. So there's less risk to it because you've already seen it.
Oh, that's interesting because, you know, I have always had almost a semi-photographic memory. It's like when I get a piece of information, it's there and it's there forever.
Gee,
and
I
can regurgitate it.
And I was just thinking the same thing.
It's really kind of sick. And I often feel like I have to like dump my brain because it's getting way too full. But yeah, they used to tease me about it when I was in corporate because we had this massive database of facts so that when clients would call in with questions, you could look up the answers, right? And so whenever it was called IWIN, stand for I Want Information Now. Mm. And at one point when a team of mine disbanded, they gave me a certificate that said most likely to educate IWIN. Because I mean, it'd gotten on the floor. If anybody had a question they couldn't find, they would come to me because I would have it right there at the top of my head. So that's probably it. It's that I've had this lifetime of gathering facts and I'm able to use them very quickly now to do my quick start.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Fascinating. I have so enjoyed having a conversation with each of you today, and I very much would love to extend invitation like Wendy for you to come back again and again. That's what we love to do here, is just bring in these incredible conversations, and we don't always know where the conversation will go. So, but before we kind of wrap up the show today, I want to ask each of you, since this is really business to business radio, who can we help introduce you to? I don't want to ask the standard question, who's the best client, but in 2018, where are you headed with the rest of this last half of the year? Who are the best clients for you? Wendy, can you start with, who are you currently working with and who can we bring you more of?
Well, thank you for that. I am currently working with business owners who are ready for that next step, who understand that HR outsourcing is not a bad thing. It is actually a gift to them. And they are ready to focus on their gifts and let my team and myself take care of everything else. So I often say that an ideal client for me is a client that's a hot mess right now. Mm-hmm. Or they don't know what they don't know, and they know that they don't know that. So anyone who has any employees or who is looking to increase their profits and eliminate employee drama. That's who we work with.
I heard that sometimes people refer to as human Advil. Tell me about that.
We come in and we take away the headache. So we, because so many business owners, they do, we mentioned it on another show, they consider the employees babysitting. So we build that relationship. So it's no longer babysitting. It is a, they are all have the same mission. They all have the same goal. They are all working together to improve this business. And so we take away the headache of hiring, because hiring someone is a full-time job.
Sure it is.
So I had a couple of my clients say, man, you're better than an Advil. You're my human Advil. And that's kind of, it just stuck.
I love it.
It just stuck. So we come in and we take the headache away so that they can focus on their profitability.
And Nancy was a perfect example.
You had,
what, three or four failures before you called Wendy. And now you've got your, and you even said dream team. Like, that's everybody's ultimate goal, is to have that dream team in place.
Well, and it's critical. You can't grow. You'll get to a point where you'll realize that you have stopped your growth because you're only one person with so many hours in a day. Mm-hmm. So until you get all of the non-critical tasks off your plate to the right team that you can trust, now you can catapult to a significant business growth. Mm-hmm. You can't do it without the right people on the bus.
Well, and that's what we do, is we come in and we get to know the business owners. We understand their culture, because so many business owners say, well, I don't have a culture. If you have a personality, you have a culture. And if you want to change that, we can help you do that. And then we can get the employees in there that are going to support that culture that you want, that mission, and help you grow and take those things off your plate so you can focus on what you need to. And that's really what we specialize in, is making it individualized and customized for every business, because every business is different.
So unique. Yeah. Wendy, how about you? Who, I don't, and I apologize if you mentioned this in the beginning of the show, but the kinds of businesses that, that you guys enjoy working with and want to see more of?
Well, I think there's two categories of clients that I'm looking for. And the first is the very broad category of somebody that owns a business, but they're in some sort of transition, whether they are thinking about a succession plan and what's going to happen when they are no longer able to fully run the business. Who will take care of that from a leadership standpoint, from an operational standpoint, financial, all of those things? How do we set that in place? Or if they're in transition from an employment standpoint, how can we educate them on the employment laws so that they are following the law in how they deal with their employees? There's so many laws out there that people don't know about and aren't expected to know, but that's where we can come in and we can help and say, you need to think about these things. Don't get bogged down in all of it, but just be aware. Or if they're in transition in any other way, changing the focus of their business, bringing a new service on, bringing new partners, independent contractors, how can they deal with that transition? The other type of person that we would like to bring on, I would say, are business owners or individuals that have worked with attorneys in the past and been unhappy. I have had many clients say to me, my other attorney made me feel stupid, mm-hmm. Or I was scared to call. And that is the last thing in the world that I want. Because of my business background, I understand what you as a business owner are going through. I have had employee challenges. I have had budget challenges. I have had strategic issues and all of those things that a business owner faces. I've probably run into that in my business life. And so I understand what you're going through, and I will never make you feel stupid. It's my role to be your partner. I want to help you grow. I want to work with you side by side to get these issues solved. Or if it's not an issue, it's just an opportunity. How can you go along this path successfully? And how can I bring up to you potential stumbling blocks so that we can avoid them right up front? I do not want anybody to ever be scared to call me. I don't want them to think that I'm going to believe that they are stupid because they don't know the answer. Yeah. We all have our expertise. I don't know every answer. That's why I research things. So I want those people to get the legal help that they need, or to come to me to find out if they need legal help. They may not know that there are legal issues that they're facing. And I can tell them, this could be an issue for you. Let's address it right now. And then they walk out of my office being more educated and feeling more in control of their business, where they may have come in feeling a little bewildered by what's facing them from a legal standpoint. So I never want them to walk out of my office feeling anything less than the great and successful business owner that they are.
Well, that's huge. Any particular industry, or it really could be any size business and most every industry, right?
Sure, it really could be. Obviously, different size businesses have different opportunities and challenges.
Sure.
But we are very familiar with working with single person businesses versus 100 to 1,000 employee businesses. Mm-hmm. They all have similar issues, just on a different scale.
Sure. Yeah.
And we can help them through.
Excellent. Yeah. And what is the best way to get a hold of your organization if people are curious and want to connect with you?
Our website has all of our contact information for myself and my partner. And the website is www.christiananderson.com.
Perfect. ChristianAndersonLaw.com. And I'll come back to Wendy McClellan. Best way to get a hold of Structure for Success and you.
They can also go through our website, which is structure4success.com. They can email me as well. I get a lot of email requests, and that's Wendy@structure4success.com. But our website has a contact information as well that comes straight to me. So
great.
I'm also on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, all of that. So they can always find us.
Okay, good. And Nancy, let's go back to the original questions. We close this out. Who financial planners, I'm guessing, like who can we help introduce you to and with our listeners?
Well, what's interesting is being kind of a serial entrepreneur, that's like a threefold question. So what I'm really, really excited about right now is I'm actually getting back into litigation support.
Oh, you are.
The lawyers, the attorneys, the family law attorneys are starting to get it. They're starting to understand that trial is not where we want to be. They're starting to understand, let's get these clients
I'm
the financial information they need. So something happened just a week or so ago that I thought was 3 years out. Two litigating attorneys agreed to bring me in as a financial neutral to help their clients reach a settlement. So I love working with attorneys that are collaboratively minded, that want to make sure their clients have the financial information that they need to make good decisions for themselves. So the family law community, I think, is really set to change. Mediators that also want to make sure that the clients they work with are going through divorce have the financial expertise to take that uncertainty off the table. Agreements come really easily when the financial uncertainties are all taken care of. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, we are the demographic, this room, right?
Yeah.
The people 45 to 65 that have been married 20 plus years that are going through divorce, have them call me. It's a kinder, gentler, more affordable process, and it does not have to be ugly. And I like to tell my clients, look, I want to help you be the best divorced family you can be.
Yes.
Because you're still a family and there's nothing that's going to change that. And if we go through this process with honor and respect, then you're going to be so much more likely to have a good relationship going forward. And trust me, your children and your grandchildren will appreciate it for the rest of their lives.
Absolutely. Wow. And how can we then get a hold of you?
My website is smarterdivorcesolutions.com. That's with an S at the end. And all our contact information is there.
Excellent. This has been a true joy to get to know each of you a little bit deeper, a little bit better. And again, the invitation is open to have you come back and be with us again. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.